universities in the United States, and these are those active in the core propagation of Islam in the United States as well as the Arabian Peninsula. So kindly we request Dr. Salah Hassan to start to talk to us about his lecture.
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah, most merciful, most beneficent being. If Allah guides someone, there is none who can guide. And if Allah chooses to misguide someone, there is none who can guide. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his true slave and messenger. Then, I welcome you all to this talk, and I thank you very much for your attendance, for the time and effort you took to come here. And if it shows something, it shows that there is hopefully an interest in your heart to come to speak the truth, and speak it genuinely and intellectually. And not only that, but also to adhere to it once you find it. And to struggle with yourself, so as to reject any kind of disdainfulness or false pride that may lead you away from the truth. Because this matter is a matter of destiny, either to hell or to heaven. And there's certainly no wise man will choose the road of eternal destruction. But all, anyone who is wise will choose the eternal blessing and the endless life of goodness as well as endless entertainment and enjoyment forever. Many of you have lived in this country or just came recently, and maybe you have heard the word Islam before, maybe you have heard the name Allah, and if somebody asks you about it, you have said perhaps this is the God of Muslims. As if this God has nothing to do with you in one way or another. You have been raised maybe in one way that has led you to Christianity or to Judaism or to religion. But now most of you are others, if not all of you, and you have heard about the word Islam, you have heard the word Allah. And as an introduction, I would like you to hear the meaning of these words. And what does it do really, what do they really reflect? Islam means submission and surrender to the will of the Creator, God, Allah. This is the meaning of Islam. Submission and surrender. You see, Christians have been called after Christ, which is not really the name of Isa, Jesus. Even Jesus is not his real name. These translations are wrong translations that came from different languages, not to forget the Greek translation. Buddhism came after Buddha, who was a reformed, wanted to reform certain things in India, among the Hindu religions. And then Confucianism came after Confucius from China. Marxism after Marx. Hinduism after the tribe of the Hindus. Judaism after the tribe of Judah. But Islam is not chosen by anyone in this country or anyone else in the world. Not a human whatsoever has chosen the word Islam to be the religion that God accepts. It is chosen by God, Allah Himself. It's not. It is not a man made name. It is a religion made by Allah. And it means submission and surrender. And those prophets before, since Adam, peace be upon him, through Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, all the way to Muhammad, peace be upon him all, surrendered themselves, not to mention of course Jesus, not to forget Jesus, surrendered themselves to the will of Allah, and they were all called Muslims, meaning those who submitted. And they were high in their submission and surrender and humility to their Creator, to Allah. And they called their respective nations, ending with Muhammad to all mankind, to the worship of God, Allah alone, associating no partners with it. This is a small introduction about Islam, and who carried Islam and the religion of Islam. Allah. For you, maybe it is a strange name, but it is not really strange for the prophet before you. At the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Arabic language, which is the sister language of Arabic, it was called, Allah was called, Allah in the old Bible that existed then, and in the current Bible that exists now, Eli, like in, or Eluha. All the names of the same creator, Allah. So it was not really strange for these prophets and messengers, maybe it is strange for you. And it is not the God of those Muslims, but it is the same God of all created. Because there can be no more than one God, no more than one Creator. And we'll talk about that. A God who is eternal, meaning does not depend on anything. Everything is in need of Him. And He is all self-sufficient. A God who is everlasting and a living God. Everlasting and a living God. What would happen if there would be more than one God? Here we are in this world of the 20th century. Here in this room, everyone thinks his God, quote unquote, is better than or is the true God. But now we are united here in this gathering to listen and to analyze this issue. I will quote to you a passage from the Quran, maybe three passages from the Quran. The Quran is the last revelation to mankind. In the Quran, Allah has addressed this point. God has addressed this point by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا فسبحان الله رب العرش عما يصفون. The translation of the name. Had there been God with a small g, besides Allah, then verily both the heavens and the earth had been spoiled. Glorified be to Allah God, the Lord of the Arsh, the Lord of the throne, above what we attribute to Him. Furthermore, in the Quran we read, what Allah wants you to know. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعْهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذًا لَابْتَغَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. Say, O Muhammad, to them, for the non-Muslims, if there had been other gods with a small g, with him, meaning with the true God Allah, as they assert, then they would certainly have sought out a way to the Lord of the throne. Meaning, in the contemporary language that we say now, they may have done a coup d'etat. You know what that means? A plot to take over power. Further addressing this point in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِذًا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. No son or offspring or children did Allah beget, nor is there any God along with Him. If there had been many gods with a small g before, if God would have taken away what he had created, and some would have tried to overcome others. Glorified to Allah, be Allah above all what they attribute to him. Clear. Who's going to set the sun this morning? This God or that other God? You have no sun. But the aside, who's going to run the world? It doesn't work. One God, one creator. So this is, hopefully, brings us closer. Brings our thinking closer. Who is this true God? He is an all-knowing. And I use the word all, because you say the human knows, but perfectly knowing, this is only to him, to Allah, the Creator, God. All-powerful. He cannot be matter. He cannot be matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. Because matter is neither eternal or everlasting. It is not. Eternal, it is not everlasting. To this point, Allah addresses all mankind about himself, clarifying who is he by saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Also, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the first. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, O Muhammad, to them that Allah is one. One in his names and attributes. He's perfect in his names and attributes. One in his lordship. No one shares the attributes of his lordship. He is one in that. The creator, the sustainer, the provider, everything. He is one in that. And he is one, ahad, in his godship. Meaning, all worship has to be directed to him alone. To him alone. And he deserves it, since he is your creator and my creator. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Allah is a samad, who is self-sufficient, absolute, not in need of anything. Everyone is in need of him. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He is not begotten, nor even is begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There is nothing like unto him. No equal, no alike. And there is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-knower, all-seeing. He is the first. So everything that you think is before, quote-unquote, goes to him, because he is before it. Goes to him, because he is before anything you think it is before. And he is the last. والأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو على كل شيء قدير. He is the last. Meaning, everything that comes last, or you think that comes last, goes to him, because he is after it, he is the last. Everything ends to him, and you and me will return to him, and we will be held accountable to him. There is a return. We are not here to live, as they say, live, enjoy, and die, as the Western world had affected many from different parts of the world to distract them from their relationship to their Creator. And he is self-sufficient. Meaning nothing outside him causes him to exist. And there is no need of a son or a daughter. In fact, this point Allah has addressed in the Quran so vividly and strongly, because a lot of mankind has been misguided about this issue. they have done in attributing some shape to God, as Allah says in the Quran, have done a monstrous evil, a grave evil. In fact, I will read to you from the passage of Maryam, or from the Surah of Maryam, the Surah of Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him, from the Quran. وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا. They say that the most beneficent Allah has become a son, or offspring, or children. لقد جئتم شيئا إدا. Indeed, you have brought forth and said a very terrible thing to attribute to God an offspring. فكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال حتى أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا. Whereby, the thing that we brought, whereby the heavens are almost torn, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins, that they ascribe a son or offspring of children to the most beneficent Allah. وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا. But it is not suitable to His Majesty of the best or the most beneficent Allah that He should become a son or offspring or children. This is a human attribute. It is not befitting of God. And now some of you will go and start thinking about something that they have heard before, that they traditionally accepted. Not only that they will take the Bible, for example, and pinpoint and say, here it says that God has said He has chosen His most beloved Son to be sacrificed for the sake of humanity, the translation of the need. And they forgot to look also that the words of God cannot be contradicted, because He is all perfect, all wise. The book that was revealed to Jesus, the Gospel and Injil that was revealed to Jesus, to Isa alayhi salam, in its original form is true. And it is the word of Allah. Similarly, the Torah, which had been revealed to Moses, is the word of Allah in its original form. But the Quran also is the word of Allah. Those books were meant to the children of Israel, and the Quran is meant to all humanity, to all mankind. The same message, the essence of it, is to worship Allah alone, has been said by Jesus and by Moses and by Abraham, ending up with Muhammad, peace be upon him, to all mankind. God is one, God is not contradictory. He would not say, I have a son in one passage, in a one book, and then deny it in another book. Something was introduced into these books, and I tell you, you go read even in the Bible that exists nowadays, take any verses there, and you will see, Solomon is my firstborn, Emmanuel, or Israel, even in the Bible, many sons have been named for God. Not only that, two or three refer to as firstborn. So who is the firstborn even if it exists? In the Bible, it is very contradictory. And God cannot be contradictory. He is one, as we said earlier. His word is one. No deficiency could be attributed to it. Something happened to these texts, that changed them. And who introduced the concept of sonship? Paul. And Paul never met Jesus. It's time to scratch our heads and start thinking all over about the traditions which we have been adopting for years. And be glad that at this point in your life, someone has introduced you to this hall, called upon you, and you probably were accepted to come to hear and take of it as a positive step to scratch further the set and try to check this tradition of yours. This is the real truth that came across in the Quran. He is the Most High. Allah, God, is the Most High. What does this really influence us? How does it really affect us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most glorified and exalted He is, does not unite with His creation. He is distinct, He is not high. And this has a great influence on us. Because there are so many people, or so many men have said about themselves that they are God, or God incarnate. And people followed them blindly, and affected their lives and the lives of their children for so many years. And ended up in idolatry and worship to other than God, and submitting to humans like them. But Allah is most distinct and most high. He is above His creation. He does not unite in His creation. He is not in everything. And everything that you think about here, existing on earth, is not God. It is a creation of God. It is a creation of God, of Allah. It is in need of Allah for its existence. He is most high. This liberates man from directing his heart of worship and in worship to other than God, Allah, amongst humans, or rivers, or suns, or moons, or fires, or cows, or whichever. And he ends, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Well, send his hand with me, the Al-Alim, the Most High. He is the irresistible, watching from above over his slave, well acquainted with everything. Everything they do, everything around them, all of that that surrounds them, all of that that surrounds their life, he is well acquainted with. Most High, but he is not also far from us. What does this really mean? He is most near. He is most high, yet he is most near. Allah addresses this in the Quran by saying, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يُرْشَدُونَ. And when my slave ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, Allah, then answer them, I am indeed near to them by my knowledge. I respond to the invocations of the supplicants when he calls on me without any mediator or intercessor, no priest, no sheikh, no nobody, between you and Allah. But I repeat, this saying in the translation of the meaning, I, Allah, respond to the invocations of the supplicants when he calls on me without any mediator, without any intercessor. In what? About him. So let them obey me and believe in me that they will be led to the right path. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to say the following about Allah. أنت الظاهر فلا شيء فوقك وأنت الباطن فلا شيء دونك. Giving knowledge about Allah so that people know whom they should worship and how to worship Him properly, Muhammad peace be upon him used to teach, saying about Allah, O you Allah, you are the most high, there is nothing above you. And وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنِ, you are the most close, most near, there is nothing that is beyond your reach. فَلَا شَيْءَ دُونَ. There is nothing beyond your reach. No one will escape the just call of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Then if someone now comes and says, why this God has to be for the Muslims? Why also, is it really the same God for the Christians, or is it really the same God for the Jews?
Certainly he is the same God for the Christian, he is the same God of the Jews, he is the same God of the so-called Buddhist, for anybody else on this earth. Before us, none of those to come. Because we said about his attributes, he cannot be contradictory in his one, and then he wants people to surrender themselves to him. So what would you think then about him? If he says to some people of this part of the world, you worship me, but you others in Japan worship another one, you others in Malaysia worship another one, and you others in South Africa worship another one, I am pleased with you. This can't be true of the Creator, the one and only one God. His religion, the essence of it, must be the same. Every man created before, now living and now to come, has to surrender in will and submission, and that's the word Islam. Has to surrender in Islam to Allah. To God. Never ever in the Bible did Moses in the Old Testament call his people to worship Moses. Never ever in the Bible, in the current versions that we have now, or the 73 versions that exist now, never ever you find that Jesus said, worship me, I am your God. Because they were not called to do so. This would be contradictory to the attributes of their Creator, who entrusted them to call their respective people to the worship of Allah, their Creator, the Prophet's Creator, and their people's Creator as well. I will show you my confessions from the Bible that exist now. In the 24:39, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth there is none else. I repeat, the Lord, He is in heaven above and upon earth there is none else. On earth there is none else. This is attributed to Jesus in the 24:39. Write that down, take it home and check. Furthermore, in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear Israel, you see, he is sent to the children of Israel, and he's calling them, Jesus, peace be upon him, hear Israel, the Lord, our Lord, is one Lord. The Lord, our Lord, is one Lord. In Isaiah 4:40, thus says the Lord, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I am the third, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In 1 Timothy 2:5, there is a definition of the Lord of Jesus, who is Jesus, by Jesus himself. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, he's addressing the symbol of Israel, I repeat. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. Look at these words. Look. Man, not God. The man, Christ Jesus, defining himself, defining his role as a messenger, saying, I am a mediator between God and you, children of Israel. Check that out. 1 Timothy 2:5. But those who worship Jesus and call themselves Christian nowadays have forgot the words of Jesus himself, saying, but in vain they do worship me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the crime the commandments of men. What is this? In Matthew 15:9. For those who call themselves Christians, but in vain they do worship me. In vain they do worship me. Because anyone who's going to worship other than God, Allah, all of his actions will be in vain, including that worship itself. And including every other good of that deed is in vain completely. The Quran, Allah addresses Muhammad, peace be upon him,
ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك. It has been revealed to you, or been revealed to those before you, that if you permit worship to other than Allah, besides Allah, set up rivals with Allah, then all of you indeed, Muhammad, be fear from him, will be in vain. Will be in vain. And then, but in vain they do worship me. But in vain they do worship me. And what was the message of Isa or Jesus to the children of Israel? وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِعِلْمٍ. In the Quran, about the message of Isa to the children of Israel, the question came, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Isa on the day of judgment, telling him, to Jesus, have you told, you son of Mary, have you told the people to take you and set you and your mother as God beside me? Then the answer of Isa will be, قال سبحانه, all glory all to you, Allah. ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي به علم؟ ما ليس لي بحق؟ How can I say something which I have no right to say? Then continues the verse in the translation of the meaning, I told them only to worship you, Allah. And this is the unity of the message of God to all the children before, to all the children of Adam before in their respective nations, and to humanity nowadays, for all mankind, and the family relation, the Quran. So what about all these things? These gods that people have chosen? Buddha, Jesus, others that you know about, Hinduism, etc. We know now Jesus did not claim to be worshipped. Buddha was a reformer, did not claim to be worshipped. And then nature, which people worship now, doesn't claim worship me. Many people nowadays are saying mother nature, mother nature. As if nature had a will. Allah addressed these names in the Quran. He's the all-knowing about what happened before, what will happen now, and what will happen on the day after, all the way. He says, ما تعبدون من دونه إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن الحكم إلا لله أمر أن لا تعبدوا إلا إياه ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. That which you worship besides Allah are only names you and your forefathers have invented, for which Allah has sent down no authority about it. The command belongs to Allah alone. He has commanded that you only worship Him, and that is the right religion, but most men do not understand. Then somebody could come up and say, you see, you have to wait, because all religions teach the same thing. They teach good, and to take good and stay away from evil. Try to stay worshiping whom I own and still do good as they accept. And the Prophet God before had been warned, if they do what you are saying now, all of their deeds, good and bad, will be vanished. Nothing will be accepted to you from their good deeds. So how come I can say that? What the rule? Who am I to come and say this is good and this is right? Who am I to say this is good and this is bad? Did I create myself? Did I create others? Did I create the things around me to say what is good and what is bad? My mind, which I am using to direct me, is also limited. My good is not good for me. And that's the good. Who is good? ذلك بطعن او بسوء. You don't own yourself, you don't own the soul that you eat, that you have in yourself. You don't own the air that you breathe. So how can you say this is good and evil? This is defined in you by the one who created you and who has the right to define what is good or good bad. So your own belief is defined for you. To whom belongs the creation and to whom belongs the companion. ألا له الخلق والأمر. The most evil thing that you try to avoid, knowing you are unworthy, the most evil thing to Allah is the one you have to work for. Not the human one. But to Allah in the first place, then we respect the human. To Allah, to God, the most evil thing is to worship other than Him, to submit willingly to other than Him. This is the most evil thing that a person could do. And the best good that a person could do is to worship him alone. This is what he has defined to be the most evil, and this is what he defined to be the best good. In Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih, the most evil thing that he will never forget or forgive is to commit worship to Allah, connected to someone around him. He created you, gave you the thought, gave you the eyes, gave you the sight, gave you all the blessings, and you turn your back away and you say, I worship another one. This is the most simple any person could do for you. And that's why it is the punishable thing which will never be forgiven until the day of the 10th point and seek the forgiveness of Allah. And this is here it says completely from anything which is being worshipped other than Allah. In all the names that we mentioned, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, no worship could be directed to them. No worship could be directed to anything which is created. Because it's deficient. And another day you see, most of the worship is directed to creation in one form or another. It's directed to creation in one form or another.
Number one, that you when you were a child
You were born with a national belief in Allah. You had given a testimony before. Your soul has been bringing them to the mother of each one of you. That you had a national belief in Allah at the time of your birth. Second, it says that there is a natural inclination which is called in Islam, fitrah. That there is a natural inclination to worship Allah alone, worship your Creator alone. Allah calls that fitrah in the Quran. Fitrah Allah الَّتِي خَلَقَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah's fitrah, which is your surrender and submission to the worship of Him, with which He has created mankind. But then, why is people are Jews? Why is people are Christians? Why is people are still Muslims? How come? What are you talking about? The child, when he is alone, he is on his fitrah. The child, when he is alone, he is on his fitrah. Just like, for example, you submit to the physical laws which your creator has created, you are already submitted to him. Just by you submit as a child to the physical laws which he has created on us, also there is this fitrah, the natural surrender to Allah. Prophet Muhammad explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, each child is born on the state or in a state of fitrah. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى فِطْرَةٍ. Each child is born in a state of fitrah. When his parents make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Jewishian. Let me give an example. The way an animal gives birth to a normal offspring, how do you know this animals were born mutilated? Then comes what? The term influence. They die, they take the custom and the tradition. And that becomes the religion. And we go into the church and then the special and come away and we receive some money and then talk behind the church and all the traditions. And then there are the children, when there is a childhood, between childhood until death, three important things are there to influence the person. Number one, the signs of Allah in the creation itself. The signs of Allah in the creation itself. And then the revelation, which is the Quran. And then the prophets were sent, those who were sent before. And the last messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, carrying the Bible for the mankind. These three are there to help direct the people who are Arabs, who are looking for the reality. For those who are Arabs, but for those who are dis-Arabs, they will continue to cheat on false beliefs. Look around and see. See the signs of Allah everywhere. See the skies without columns. See the barriers between the seas that don't make physical barriers. See the splitting of earth from heaven. See the sign in yourself and the development of you in the mother womb. Your mother womb. Every soul will be held to account as it grows. Every soul will be held to account on the day of judgment. And Allah has given every soul the ability to look and examine that surrounds it and to find the truth about Allah Himself. That's why He says in the Quran at the end, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. The one who chooses a religion other than submission in will to Allah, which is Islam, will not be accepted from him. And the day of the day of judgment, he will be among saluted. And he addressed those who claim to be Christian, addressed those who claim to be Jews, and they are called in the Quran people of the book. He addressed them by this verse, I may address you if you belong to a Christianity or a Christian denomination, I address you by finalizing my last word in the words of Allah, as he said in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ
تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم، ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله، والمسيح ابن مريم ولا نشرك، ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله، فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. All people of the world, come to a just world between you and us, that we worship none except Allah, our Creator, and that we commit no partnership with Him, no association of worship to other than Him, no worship directed to other than Him, no association of worship whatsoever, and that we should not وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ، and that we should not set up among each other or take each other's arms.
We thank you, gentlemen, for attending this lecture. We also have plenty of comments as well, and now we will be receiving your questions. Our first question says, can you give a proof that Allah whom we must worship?
Can you give a proof, you hear me? Can you give a proof that Allah is the one that we must worship? And the last passage that I talked to you about, I spoke about the sign which refers to in the Quran as ayat, the signs of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, I'll get you to your answer or to answer this point in a short time. Go ahead with me with my thoughts so that you understand where I'm going. Allah says in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ. We shall show our signs in themselves and in the future and in the horizon, so that it becomes really manifested to them that this Quran is the truth from Allah. So the signs of Allah. This is one thing to know that Allah is the true God that you should worship. This Quran speaks about Allah, tells you about His attributes, which I came across many of them from the Quran. And I will give you one sign in you, so that hopefully it proves to you who is your Creator. You have been in the mother, in your mother's womb, and you have come into stages from the sperm that was fertilized. And that egg, that sperm that wants to fertilize that egg, and the egg that got divided and developed and took shape of congealed blood and many shapes until it brought you into fetus form, and then you are attached to the placenta wall, and then you took your nutrition from the umbilical cord and etc. Till you came out as a baby, and you grew up to be a youth, and then you die, or you reach a fetus age, or you die before that. Who was the one who brought the Quran to us in the text that exists now? Is it Muhammad, peace be upon him? That's what we tell you as Muslims. So go find in this book, number one, realities about Muhammad. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was unlettered. He didn't know how to read, he didn't know how to write. He didn't know any science whatsoever. Nowadays, the science of development of the human embryo, as one sign that I was talking about, tells you so many details about your development. How did you develop inside your mother's womb? If you go to the Quran and to chapter 23 in the Quran and read about your development exactly, how did you develop from the sperm to the fertilized egg and all the stages of development, you will be amazed. 1400 and more years ago, this Quran has spoken about the way of your creation. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, didn't know neither anything of the technology that exists now, which has shown
that many of these stages that were described in the Quran are true and they are existing nowadays with their fluorescent microscopy, with their light microscopy, with all the copy that they have. They have prepared for you many aspects of your development in this entire world. How did Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Allah of man know about this? I will answer by the word that was given by Keith Moore, a professor of human development at the University of Toronto in Canada. His book is being taught all over medical schools in the world. He was an MD here, he was there. He told you after he read all the descriptions about the development of the human embryo in the Quran, he told you this cannot be the word of Muhammad, it must be a revelation from Allah. It must be a revelation from Allah. Many scientific conferences are being held nowadays to study many aspects about science that exists now that have been described in the Quran. These are signs in you and in the Quran to come to prove to you that the Quran is the word of Allah. When you read that, you come to a close grip of the reality that what Muhammad preached here is not Muhammad's message. It is a message revealed to him from his Creator. And then you will grasp the essence of it, what does it call you for? The lordship of Allah alone. I could give you better than further too, but the questions are too long to go, and I will stop at this time alone.
Next question says, since we all believe that Mary conceived as a virgin, who then sired her son?
Okay. Do you know about Adam? Do you know about Eve?
Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam, the peace of Allah be upon him, was created from a mother whose name is Allah sent the angel Gabriel, who breathed in the womb of Mary the soul of Isa alayhi salam, and she conceived for a child by the name of Isa ibn Maryam, Isa the son of Mary. Allah told us in the Quran of the time, Isa ibn Maryam, the son of Mary. Why? Confirmation and a reply for those who always say, son of God, son of Mary. And Adam and Eve, Adam, no father and no mother. No father and no mother. Allah created him from clay. In fact, a group of Christians came from Najran in Yemen and came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in Mecca when he was alive. And they asked him, what do you say about Isa alayhi salam? Allah revealed to Muhammad, peace be upon him, a passage in the Quran, a verse in the Quran, إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون. The father of Jesus is like that of Adam. He has created him from clay and he said to him, be as you are. Be as you are. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. The command of Allah directly, whenever he wants any matter, anything be done, he says to it be and it will be. Mary conceived, she conceived. Conceived via the reincarnated soul that I sent, the soul is the created soul to be absorbed, to be breathed in. Mary, you are carrying the soul in you, breathed by an angel around the 120th day of your development in your mother. An angel comes and breathes the soul of you, which has been created, and before it came in front of Allah and took the pledge that it will accept and witness that Allah is its Lord. That's why every child is born on Sitra, naturally related to worship Allah alone. For a mother, no father. Eve from a father, no mother. So, which is more miraculous? Adam, of course, right? So if we have to take this as a sort of reference, we should probably give Adam, you know, more than Jesus. But we cannot do that. We take things as Allah has decreed.
Our next question says, since we all believe in Allah as being the most powerful, why did you choose to think human beings as messenger to create this message, rather than using a more compelling way?
Allah has chosen from amongst mankind people whom He constructed to deliver the message of worshipping Him alone, with all their respective nations to worship Allah alone. There are many things about this issue which are so interesting and so beneficial to know. This prophet is a man calling other men. There is a lot of interaction that goes in. Human to human interaction. A human to human response. And above all, when he is human, he thinks only carrying a message from Allah, and you see him walking the street, and eating, and going to sleep, and using the going to the call of nature, you will realize that you should not relate to him in worship, because he is in need. You relate to the one that has given him the trust, and that is the message itself. And there is also the issue of endurance, the benefit of endurance. Those men who have been chosen came and they did not expect everybody to respond positively to the call of Allah. And they have to endure the rejection and endure the hardship and also enjoy the benefit of the call. And that is a human interaction that gives an example for those who accept the belief of Allah, that they themselves will be tested and their examples will be in these prophets to take them as best example, as humans as they are, and take their example as a living example in tolerance, in patience, in the way of worship of Allah. So that they teach them on a human to human level. You expect God to come to earth and tell you how to do that? This is a degradation of His attitude. It cannot be. You take Him to a human level. He has chosen for you a means which is easier, which is most reliable to you, and most touching, and that He is a man, the person who is calling you, but He has been given the extra distinction of being a prophet, so that you would relate to the creator of this prophet and not worship him as a man. In fact, and reply for those, for example, who take for Jesus as God, we say the following. He was a man, he walked the street, and he called himself a man, so that people learn from him how he worshipped his creator. In fact, in the Bible it says, in many passages, it tells you that Jesus went up to the wilderness near Jerusalem and started to pray. And at times of difficulties he prayed. In all of this there is teaching. In the Quran, Allah says about Muhammad, peace be upon him, that in Muhammad you have the best example to follow. And when he is a human, you could relate to him. And that is why Allah has chosen humans from amongst ourselves to relay the message to us.
Next question says, how can we prove that Islam is the true religion from the whole Quran?
This was actually most of the topic about this point, proving that Islam is the religion of all Islam. You hear me?
That Islam is the religion chosen by God to all humanity. I gave you some indications or some statements from the Quran to prove that this Quran is the word of Allah. And once you know that it is the word of Allah, you will know about Islam that it is the accepted religion to Allah. And you will know that the teachings of all the prophets before and the messengers were calling their respective nations to the worship of Allah alone. Then you will realize when Allah says in the Quran, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. In the Quran, Abraham was not a Jew, was not a Christian, but he was a committed, upright Muslim to his Lord. submitting in surrender to his will. And this is the essence of Islam. When I explain what Islam means, I hope you will realize that it is the religion which Allah wants for all mankind to adopt and to take.
Is Muhammad mentioned in the Quran?
In the Quran?
Yeah.
Or in the Bible or
in the Quran?
Muhammad, yes, is mentioned in the Quran by the name of Ahmad and by the name of Muhammad also.
This next question is written in Arabic, and so the translation often says, is it enough to be a good person and have good manners as well as being good to others? To escape the punishment in the day of judgment.
هذا السؤال طلبنا إلينا الأخير يتكلم بالعربية أو المستيقظ عن كريم تركز العربية في العربية طلبنا عليه بحيث أن قلنا أنه الله يقول أنا أعبد من أعبد أنا أعبد من أعبد صالح وما أضر حتى ولا أخرجين وعلى هذا يعني الأمر يقع ربنا عليه ذلك. Some people at this level of saying here and say that I it's enough for me to do good and I can worship anything I want to worship. And he said, you look at things, you find them as good and bad, you cannot define them as good and bad. We talked about that in the lecture. The most evil thing is to worship anything but God. So how are you going to go choose something else to worship? And this is the most evil thing. And you say, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Allah says in the Quran about this, وَقَدِئْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We have come to every action or every deed that they have done and we made it like a scattered dust on the earth. Why? Because all of their deeds in this world is in vain as long as they don't accept Allah as their true savior and the true God to worship.
The children say, can you elaborate or further about the signs of God?
Can you elaborate further about the signs of God? Yes, I could give you, for example, another sign. This could take a lot of time giving you more about the signs of Allah. But let me give you a couple of two things that are mentioned in the Quran, and you could relate to them out openly in your daily life.
The minute you drink, the minute that you drink, it comes from between excretions and filth. The minute you drink, comes from in between excretions and filth. Allah has mentioned that in the Quran. Science nowadays knows the hormones and the excretions, the glands that excrete the milk, and how it comes between filth and blood secreted as enjoyable drink for those who like it. Milk that you drink. Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not know anything about glands, did not know anything about excretions, did not know anything about his wine, did not know anything about, you know, maybe even missing the count. Just to bring you the point. So how did he learn all that? That's a revelation from Allah and a sign for all of you. Take for example, those who, the issue of tensity and kasafat lumo, kasafat imadda, intensity. And specifically gravity is very clear volume, ground square complete, ground square millimeter, maybe ground square millimeter, etc. Did Muhammad think he had only more than others of man know about it? He didn't know anything about the density and the diminution. Densities and solution were defined in this power 18th-19th century. That's really now. And now we read in the Quran, which we read what we read in the last 49 years ago, we read the separation of salt and fuel, the separation of fresh and cold water. So there is a barrier between fresh and cold water. Barrier. How does this barrier come? Explain. By science nowadays. Different densities of solute between the two waters put a barrier between them. You see the mile going into the Mediterranean for such and such kilometers with distinct passage. You see in the Pacific going into the Gulf of Mexico for miles with the same passage of water. So it is different. وَمَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَعْنِيَانِ in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the sea, fresh and soul together, but they don't think there is a separate, a barrier between them. Muhammad did that, but he didn't know anything about specifically what he had about that. This is from Allah Muhammad, and this goes more and more even to remind us that there is a lot of things that are in the Quran.
Three more questions. This question says, in a Muslim fire, in a Muslim fire stands prayer, he says that I wish offer my ibadah to you only. Does the word ibadah mean just worship only without obeying in other areas of life? Does Allah just only worship?
The word worship in Islam, as Allah wants it to be, يَقُدُ مَنْ يَحِبُّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَرَضَاهُ لِمَنْ عَمَلَ الْقَانَ وَرَضَاهُ. The meaning of worship in Islam is everything that the person utters or says or does from outward or inward actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pleased with or he has decreed to be done. Including prayers, including how to use the bathroom, including how to walk the street, how to sit by the street, how to sit on the corner, how to treat others. Many times we say, oh, I feel 300 months and then take many. Of course. If that happens, then it's possible for the day of judgment. If you don't give you your life, then it's possible for the day of judgment. We are talking about this man. If there is a misbehavior of a Muslim, he has to be held responsible for the day of judgment. If he dies on that without repentance to Allah, with sincere repentance to Allah, there is danger on him. You have to know that. You keep your wisdom, your mind together, but from time you have the issue of worship. The worship has to be manifested in every action that the Muslim does, not only in the prayer.
A child born in the non-Muslim family and not exposed to Islamic atmosphere, how we know the truth about real worship? Where
is false life? A child born in non-Muslim family and not exposed to Islamic atmosphere and he has never seen Islam and he's still in the world and not going to be talking about Islam and he dies on that, what will be his end, where he is going to go? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, most just. He has said in the Quran, وَمَنْ كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We will never inflict injustice or unjust justice and take a punishment until we send a messenger.
Our final question says, how is baptism defined in Islam and how is it done in this religion?
See, baptism is an interesting point. Existing with the tradition of Christianity, it's to take the child and then in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and make him a Catholic. If he's not a Catholic, he may be baptized in one way or another, but to get Jesus, you know, wiping the sins of this new world. As if Jesus has said that the sin of Adam is carried to you and me. This is the most important myth that exists. Did you hear what I said? This is the most important thing that takes the whole lecture to talk about. I will really think some time about it. This is the most important myth that exists among Christians. And who is the devil of this myth? There was a guy by the name of Paul. He comes to Paul again. By the way, Paul was a drunken Jew. He used to kick Christians from the world to the night. Right? Go check his history. A drunken Jew who used to take Christians on the road to the night. That was Paul. Regardless, Paul came with this concept, listen, that you see, you were born with a sin. Adam had committed a sin, disobeyed Allah, and Allah punished him, and the sin was in his descendants all the way to the day of judgment. And then he comes to tell you, see, your sin was so awful that God, Allah, will not forgive you. You see, why don't you take another approach and come to a mediator? You can't stand in front of Allah and say, forgive me, you're sinful, you're awful, you're bad, you know, stay away from it, stay away, take it for the corner, huh? But come to another approach, come to Jesus. He is your savior. Put him in you, you will be forgiven. And he took you from asking God alone directly. You see, if that exists, and we'll talk about it.
I wrote a special note about it because I was expecting a question maybe.
Allah says in the Quran, the translation of the meaning, no soul earns anything except against itself only. And no bearer of burdens can bear the burdens of another. Then unto your Lord is your reserve. Before that, in a chapter in the Bible by the name of Ezekiel 18:20-21, it is referred to Jesus as saying, listen, a son is not to suffer because of his father's sins, nor a father because of the sins of his son. A good man will be rewarded for doing good, and an evil man will suffer for being evil. What does it become of this issue? Eliminating the sins of the children of Adam and taking me to the cross to prepare me so that I purify the people behind me, set my love for this day. He knew, if he knew that he had to be killed and accept the cup of death to save you and save my neck, you think he would stand there saying, as the Bible says, Eloha, Eloha, Allah, Allah, why you have forsaken me? Or should we accept and be quiet? We should accept and be quiet. Eloha, Eloha, Allah, you have forsaken. God says, pass this cup of death away from me. And Allah saved him and took him up to him. And they did not crucify him. He did not die. He did not shed his blood for him, for the Adam's mistake. Why? Because this is a degradation. It is a degradation of the attributes of God. And if God does not accept the repentance of Adam. Yes, indeed, Adam did make a mistake, but he repented. Allah is all forgiving. He accepted Adam's repentance. And Adam and his children were honored. Allah said in the Quran, in the translation of the meaning, we have honored the children of Adam on land and sea. Of course, God said, no, you see your sins, so you can't be taken by fighting. Now we see your sins. He has to keep Jesus with him, or else if he dies, he'll be in danger. What is this myth? Let's keep the position away a little bit and wake up. Taken to the church, taken to this doctrine for four, and come to the same position. Even the body that exists now in all the things that is, does not say such.
We thank Dr. Saleh, Saleh Hassan, for sharing his time with us. And we thank you for your time, the students, and listening. We have tickets in the back as you are leaving. So you may take. Thank you very much.